It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted, Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Stiz, when are we going to hear some Stiz Grimy?
Friday. Yeah, you know what's funny? You were making fun of, or not making fun of, but we weren't a fan of that Gautier song. I went over that beat, and I think I did it justice.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Oh, well, that I'd like to hear, because the part of that song I don't like is the, "You didn't have to turn me on."
Nailed it.
I'm not a big fan of that song.
I listened to an entire Stiz Grimy album the other night, and really, it kept me going. It was awesome.
You're legitimately, like, really talented.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's the thing, is that Boston is very underrated in the rap scene. I mean, between, like, guys like you, Slane, Esoteric. But Esoteric, I guess, is doing an album with Tom Hardy. I know he's the actor. Tom Hardy.
That's,
I know,
amazing.
He's been friends. Yeah, so they've been friends for a while. And he's like a huge fan of Czarface and Esoteric. And I guess that they're hooking up to do that. You know, by the way, the crazy thing about Esoteric is, I don't know if you guys are wrestling fans. I wasn't a big wrestling fan, but I knew about this. Do you remember the storyline years ago when John Cena, like, started to become a rapper and he did, like, like rap stuff? It was, like, near the beginning of when he kind of started to blow up. That was Esoteric who wrote his raps.
Oh, wow.
Did he get paid for it?
Yeah, Esoteric was writing John Cena's raps. So you go back and you listen to it, and you're like, all right, well, you know, because you heard John Cena's, like, these are pretty good. It's because they're written by Esoteric. So good for Sheamus. And he's going to be doing that album. I don't know when it comes out, but him and Tom Hardy together, if you've ever wanted to hear Spawn rap, then there you go.
So Ken, real quick, Esoteric was a local Boston rapper, mm-hmm. who then,
yeah, as if I don't
up,
know this.
Oh, well, just making sure, maybe the audience doesn't, who then teamed up with Inspector Deck of the Wu-Tang Clan, and they made the group Czarface.
What about 7L?
Oh, yeah,
what
Inspector Deck,
of course.
Well,
yeah, along with 7L.
7L in it. Is he in Czarface, or I thought it was just Esso?
Okay. It's those three. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Along with 7L, who is a phenomenal DJ. But yeah, so there you go. So him and Tom Hardy. Very, very nice. So you rapped over the Gautier song?
I did. We'll play that next week.
Okay, we'll hear that when we get back. Okay, I do want to play this Mac Jones clip. That's a Rich Shirtley pivot, because he was being interviewed. And Mac Jones is obviously not Mr. Personality, but this was great. So he was on Bussin' with the Boys, and he was asked kind of about how things went with Bill Belichick kind of near the end. And here's what he had to say.
He's got, like, the hoodie on with the cut off. He's very, like, doesn't seem like he gives a shit about anything else other than just, like.
Well, how about that?
The X's O's. Yeah. You know, I felt like early, like, first year was great. Like, we would eat breakfast sometimes together and, like, hang out and get to know each other. And then I don't know what happened. It just kind of, like, switched a little bit. And, but yeah, he has a personality. Like, he's funny, joke on the field a little bit. But I don't know. Just, like, the personalities were so different. Like, that's me, kind of, like, outgoing and energetic, you know, and, like, dancing on the field. It just didn't really match
up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a big thing. Like, but anyways, I don't know. I think it was.
Oh, he got pissed that you hit the gritty.
Oh, yeah, he was pissed. Yeah. And the team, he got pissed. I did it one time, and he's like,
"Yeah, we had a good time." I danced once, and he yelled at me.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like I hit it the next year during the season or something versus Baltimore. Anyways, he was like, he was showing the highlight, like I ran it in or whatever, and then like I was gritting, but like my teammates were all like behind me, like dancing and stuff. Yeah. He's like just running away from your teammates. Like, what are we doing here?
Ken, what's hit the gritty mean?
Dance that was popular for a minute. You know, it's like the.
As if I don't know, Jeff.
I want to see if Ken would know.
I can do the gritty. Of course, we watched Mac Jones do it. I mean, we've seen it on replay a million times. But I thought it was actually Mac at his most relatable. It's kind of wild that, like, Bill would rip him for that.
Yeah.
Because we used to criticize Mac for being a hothead and, like, yelling at people on the sideline and blowing up and, you know, like, hothead Mac. And he seemed very stiff. That was actually, like, a cool moment, you know?
He got screwed. He did get screwed. Listen, he was never going to be a super talent, but the fact that they, you know, started him with Josh McDaniels, and you got a taste of, you know, what he could be with a good offensive coordinator, and then they did that whole Matt Patricia garbage. I mean, he really, really got screwed, and he didn't have a chance. He didn't have a shot. Now, I'm glad things worked out the way that they did, because now you've got Drake May, but I do feel that it makes you wonder, like, how many quarterbacks that are now considered great, if they would have come into a situation where you had someone like Matt Patricia as your offensive coordinator, how we would maybe never even have known how good you could be.
No, and you wonder how pissed Mac is really about it. I mean, like, he's had chances in the league, and he's not starving. He just signed a new, like, $8 million deal to be a backup. So he's in a decent spot. But would he still be a starter in this league if things had been different? You know, if he had a stable situation with a good coordinator. Like, I do think Bill just, he jerked him around for a while. He, the zappy thing, he was in, he was out, he was trying to send a message. He sort of ruined Mac Jones.
Well, that zappy thing, I remember when that happened. I haven't heard, I remember it had been like 2-3 seasons since I had heard the crowd that loud at Gillette Stadium when they put Zappy in.
Yep.
Like, everyone was just ready when they threw him in. And remember that was the year, too, where Mac had reached out to his the University of Alabama
To Saban guy.
And Saban, like, tattled on him and told, like, Bill and said, "Now your guy's calling down here, man." And Bill was BS about the whole thing. How dare you go outside the organization? I mean, listen, maybe you could have ended up having a Caleb Durbin Lorenzo situation. You go find your own guy, and all of a sudden magic happens. But, man, Bill was pissed. So pissed about it all.
That's disappointing. But there again, it feels like Bill fell off a cliff in terms of just being able to relate to young guys or to coach in the league. And that does make me second guess, because I do think he wants to get back to the NFL to break the record. But I do wonder now, with some of the stories like this coming out, like, is any owner going to be like, yeah, Bill's got it in him at age 75 or whatever to come in here and win for a couple seasons? It is a long shot.
Well, the first thing that Captain Man Moves will have to do is he'll have to end up saying that I'm only going to be the coach. I am not going to demand what I've been demanding, according to all the reports with Atlanta and everybody else, that he wanted to be the guy that installs everyone around him. He wants to pick the groceries and he wants to be the chef at the same time.
Michael Lombardi wants to be his GM and all that.
Yeah, right. Like, he wants to bring in his guys and he wants to make sure that he calls all the shots, and he's not going to get that. He isn't going to get that. And you know what? Do I think he could come back and win a few games and be a decent coach? You bet your ass. Dude's the best, still the greatest coach, you know, that we've ever seen. And I just don't think that, you know, he would have to get rid of Jordan, because Jordan's apparently just like ruining everything. Like, what's going on? They should study and write books about how bad things are going down in North Carolina. And it should be, you should take a look at exactly, this is the wrong way to do it. Bring your girlfriend in, bring somebody in there, starts ordering everybody around who wants to be copied on all the different memos. And it's been an absolute disaster. And
the first lady of UNC football, I swear she had an official title, but I guess not. She does not have an official football title.
I have no idea, but that's, you know, all I know is that it's bad. It's very, very bad. Is she still posting like a ton? Or
not
is she?
Not much. I mean, Stiz, look up what she's posted lately.
All quiet on the Western Front lately. But
we do have a Red Sox update for you.
Okay.
So the Red Sox have arrived at Citi Field. There is a lineup for tonight. Peyton Tolley finally met with the media. He was telling them that, it's kind of incredible, they had weather issues last night. They, I guess, for 5 hours, went back to the hotel, then got up this morning and had different mechanical issues. So 5 to 6 hours on the plane last night, had to go back to the hotel, got back on this morning, had a different mechanical plane issue, just arrived now. And I think they might delay the game, although that's not official. Will Fleming, we did talk to him a little bit during the break, and he said it's a possibility that they, you know, might push this thing back just till all the equipment arrives and all that kind of stuff.
It didn't come with them? I mean, can it just go with the play? This is weird.
It is so weird.
I know it's inconvenient to have to start the game early, but they're at the stadium 2 hours before the game, right?
Yeah, an hour and a half, 7:15. I mean,
all right.
Haven't taken BP. I mean, what if they don't have? I guess the equipment should be with them.
Dude, it sucks, but you miss a day of BP. I mean, you just gotta sometimes roll with it. I don't know. I think that's screwing the fans if you have to move that thing back a while. I mean, unless, like, if it's any more than an hour, you're screwing the fans. I don't know why you need to do that.
Well,
I just don't.
Good news,
John Henry couldn't have taken care of this by getting like a better plane out there for him.
Right. I mean, he would have to call somebody in Chicago already to, you know, fix it, but. You would think they have connections, but either way, Dan Ball is standing by. He'll have Sox talk until first pitch tonight, so not to worry.
Oh, Dan Ball. It was interesting when Chris Cotillo was on talking about his theory about Roman Anthony getting sent down to – I mean, it truly, you get sent down to Florida in the middle of July, that's a punishment. And it sounds to me that they just are somewhat over him being around the team and things not getting better. I don't know what's going on outside of that. I'm not going to speculate as to whether he's partying or anything like that, because I've heard some people do that. I don't think that that's fair. I just think that it's just might even be as simple as it's a depressing story that they don't want their their team that's now in a good headspace to be around. There's a guy who every day seems to just be like not getting better, and like he's a star on the team. And it just, I can see that if you're Chad Tracy, you're looking at that and going, you know what? We kind of just need to put that in the other room for now. We don't need the guys to be around somebody who's frustrated. Obviously, you can see it on their face. There's a vibe trying to achieve here. And Chad has done a great job in getting these guys to believe that they can win and they can turn things around, because, damn it, they have. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's all part of it. And they're like, Roman, obviously you're not ready. Just get out of here. And they sent him down to Florida. And now he's – now the best is when Breslow said there wasn't enough room in the training room for him. Like, that's
well,
so
there isn't.
Dumb.
And I'm glad,
of course,
that you asked me so that I can address this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Brett.
He was very glad. He laughed. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, how ridiculous is it? Let me give you an answer that makes total sense and will clarify everything. Not enough tables in the training room.
Quit ripping on Brez. He's turned this ship around, baby. And
oh, it's him, too. Yes.
They had good news on Connolly early. Not as, you know, just inflammation. So he and Ranger should be back after the trade deadline. They have some. Nice. We might get a Brian Baio tomorrow. Like it or not, he's standing by in case he's needed. But I think Sandoval, who started yesterday, that's good trade bait for you. If all these guys stay healthy, you can trade a pitcher from a position of depth, a starter, and get back some offensive help. But at this point, you know, it's probably boring, but they're going to wait up until the trade deadline to make a call, right, one way or the other, whether they're
sure.
in or out.
But how great would it be if Baio came back and he's
and he was fixed?
Yeah, fixed. Like, how great would that be?
He made 4 starts in Worcester. He had an ERA of 4.3. 22 strikeouts to just 4 walks. So not horrible, but
not good, though.
You believe that's fixed? Yeah, I mean, the first inning tomorrow is going to be dicey, let's be honest.
It would suck if he's ruined, because he showed so much promise. And also, I don't like that. Like, that scares me, that something can get in your head so bad that it can ruin you. And we've seen that happen with athletes before, and yep. I don't like that at all. I don't wish, and not only do I not wish it for anybody, it scares me, because I'm like, what could happen in my life where all of a sudden just something's turned, like I'm just driving into walls, like I can't drive anymore, or something like that.
You keep saying 5 instead of 7.
Now, that is weird. That is something that does need to be
studied.
That's
your Brian Baio issue.
It is. 617-779-7935. Just kidding. 7. And we will take your calls.
7!
7! We will take your calls next.